Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and with me is Stevie Fizz. If you haven't seen our tweets, we are splitting the shows into two formats, your Supercoach and AFL Fantasy / Dream Team / Ultimate Footy pods now, just for the ranking period, so there's no confusion for you, the listeners, and you can just pick and choose what content you want. This is the A team. The B team consists of Cam, the Statesman, and our new Golden Tonsils host, Doss. So thanks very much for doing that, boys. But just Steve and I back how it used to be, and we are going to be talking all things Supercoach ruck ranking. So how you doing, Steve?
I'm very excited, Jono. Back to the OG lineup. The original lineup and finally rid of Cam. And finally, like, we're doing ruck rankings, and like, I can't think of a worse ruck situation to try and rank than the Geelong one. I don't know how you feel, but I feel it's just a nightmare.
Oh, it's just a cluster muck. It certainly is.
And I'm sure Cam will have them all three Geelong rucks in the top 10. I don't have to deal with three,
isn't it?
Well, probably.
And you could throw in Asava Radatagalia. I think he's ruck forward this year as well.
Yeah, it's a scary, scary situation.
Certainly is. But let's just get into it. We've got the top 20 of our super coach here. Look, also before we get started, if you want us to send us in some your thoughts on how the two shows work, you can do that. Hit us up at the Draft Doctors on Twitter and search us out on Facebook as well. But I think we'll break it down in fives. It's much easier that way.
Sure. We've
got plenty of time. So, kicking it off, I think number one, Brody Grundy for me, Maxi Gawn, Toddy Goldstein, Steph Martin, and the Nank is my top five.
Yeah, look, John, it's the carbon copy of mine. I've got Steph and Goldie flipped. That's the only difference. Do you want to talk about Grundy and Gawn? Because in the Supercoach format, this was pretty close. It was only 3 points the difference in season-long average. I guess the difference is that Gawn has the Proust factor, and you know, we've sort of, looks like we've moved past the Grundy is going to be sharing time at any point.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's the fear with Gawn, that we've got Braden Proust there. He did request a trade for a reason. How are they going to work it? I know Jesse Hogan's left that, so does he play the second tall forward there to McDonald and pinch hit while Maxi has a rest? Because we did see it in 2018 that Gawn did go forward and rest there. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic and certainly a wait and see throughout the JLT.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. And, you know, obviously yourself and I are big fans of drafting our rucks late. I can see a world where they start Gawn and Proust and abandon it after a few weeks. And if you're a savvy owner, you might be able to throw out a lowball trade offer on Gawn and try snap him up for a cheaper pick, because he should probably still go early-ish in drafts. He's probably still around in consideration for a round one pick with that huge average.
Yeah, definitely. I think we saw it with Grundy a couple of years ago when Cox first came on the scene, that when they were in tandem, that Brody's average drops significantly. And then once Cox got the heave-ho from the ruck duties, it pumped up in that second half of the year. So certainly can see that happening with Big Gawny this year.
Yeah, yeah, it's an interesting one. But yeah, Steph and Goldie, you've got Goldie set for a big year. I'm still just riding Team Steph.
Yeah, I think with Steph, I've just got him behind Goldie with the Oscar McInerney factor. I know he's up and coming. I think they will play him. And Steph being, what, 30-odd now, so might slow down a little bit, but it's just my only concern. That's the only thing there. So
yeah, I got no beef with the big O. Didn't even get ruck status. Like, he wasn't getting much ruck time at all. Like,
no,
it's the Steph show. They didn't even split him in the second half of the year. I've sort of got, like, I think Brisbane are on an upwards trajectory. I think most people would say that. So I think they're going to try win games, and I think Steph's probably a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely.
And we both have Nank at five. Both love the Nank.
Oh, I love the Nank. Where do you see Nank actually going in drafts this year? I know he's always been that late or mid to late pick, so I think this year he could get a significant bump.
Yeah, that's going to be a very interesting question, Jono. He came in with the 98 average, so he's probably... He is the 6 by average. Big boy did average a couple more points than him. Will he get drafted in front of Big Boy in most drafts? I don't know. They're probably close. So he's probably going to be in that, in your super coach, in your, maybe in your round 6-7 range.
Way too early for me.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, if you're going to... Like, I quite like the Nank, and I think he's got a lot of upside.
Well, as an owner of the Nank the last couple of years, I've gotten him in round, like, 13, and between 13 and 16.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen this year.
No, I mean, that was value the last couple of years, but I don't think that's going to happen either. I see more, as you said, that, what, 7, 8, 9 round for me.
Yeah, I think so, and it's... I really... You're banking on him taking another step, which, in all fairness, Jono, could happen.
Oh, absolutely. But so, and also, if you take him too early, it could go the other way. He could drop 4 or 5 points. But
I don't see him dropping. I find that hard to believe.
I don't see Handsome Tom helping out at all. Or...
Why would they throw their $1 million forward in the ruck? Like, that makes no sense.
I don't know, it's just that Nank looked gas at the end of the year. Maybe they rest him. I don't know.
Well, he's still developing, and that's what I think. I think there's a bit of upside. He's just ticked over the 50 games, you know, another preseason. He really has been quite durable playing back-to-back 21-game season plus finals. So I quite like the Nank, and he sort of he doesn't rely on the hit-outs, so I think the hit-outs are something, like we saw Brody Grundy didn't really dominate hit-outs. Like, maybe that's something that Nank can grow into, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, a couple more possessions could probably will tick him over that 100 average.
Well, he already averages a hell of a lot of possessions.
Oh, that's right. Like I said, like he's about 15, 16, whereas Grundy, Goldie, and Martin, they're around the 18 possessions, so, and that pushing them over the ton average.
Yeah.
The next 5 I've got, starting at number 6, is Big Boy McAvoy, Jared Witts, Matty Cruiser, Sauce Jacobs, and Tom Bell Chambers.
Yeah, okay, so we're pretty different here. I've got Big Boy down at 9. So my next 5, I've got Cruiser in at 6. I'm pretty bullish on Cruiser at this stage. Early January, you're allowed to be bullish on him.
No, right? That's what it's about.
Let's be honest, these ranks can and will change, but the thing I like about Cruiser is I don't see much competition for ruck time. Carlton sort of played a one ruck system. We sort of got that the key forward set up nicely. The defenders are set up nicely. So, and Cruiser's very mobile, and I've given a bit of a bump to the ruckman who can get around the ground and win the ball. And we know Cruiser can certainly kick a goal, so I like him. We'll see how his preseason goes, but all signs point to him being fine. Westhoff in at 7. Jared Witts at 8. Big Boy in at 9. I think Segler could certainly work in a little bit more and split that rotation up a little bit. And Belcho in at 10.
Yeah, it's interesting that one you're talking there with Big Boy and Segler. Looking at the numbers, they've played together a fair bit, and the numbers don't really differentiate that much. Like, Segler's one actually takes more of the hit. It's Big Boy who takes most of the rucking contests when they do play together.
No, and that's fine. I understand that and I expect that, but it was really such a great season for McAvoy. I just expect a bit of a dip there.
What do you expect Hoff to go in Supercoach this year in terms of average? I know it's the great unknown, but...
Yeah, I've got him pegged in for about an 88, 89 average. Okay. Whether he hits that, I'm not sure, but I think it's a pretty fair sort of average.
Yeah, that seems about right. That's what he generally averages in Supercoach, but just got a few more ahead of him there. Where did you say you had Witts?
8, so just 8, behind 8. The Hoff.
Yeah. And Tom Bell Chambers, we saw in 2018, he went absolutely spastic in terms of scoring when he was sole ruckman and got the job done, especially the Supercoach format, but not so much your dream team.
Yeah, love the big Belcho, Jono. So I certainly think he's an underrated ruckman in the Supercoach format, and it doesn't look like there's too much competition. I know Sean McKernan chopped in a little bit, but if Danaher's back, does McKernan even get a gig?
Well, they got Zach Clark as well for some reason.
I saw that, but he's not playing.
Nah, he's just pure backup. I know it was North Melbourne that picked up Tom Campbell.
Me?
Yeah. Sauce Jacobs I've got at 9. I found him really hard to rank this year. At 9, yeah. I had Sauce Jacobs at 9, but I found him really hard to rank. I know he's been a modicum of consistency over the years, but Adelaide across the board in 2018 all fell away, so I've just put it down to one bad year, and I think Jacobs does come back, and you might even be able to get him even on the cheap, like where you got Nank last year is where you could probably get Jacobs this year.
I think it's a good point, Jono. I'm probably just not a huge fan. He just didn't, like, the eyeball test didn't look great. Doesn't get around the ground super well. Maybe it was a product of Adelaide being down, and that's fine, but I think you will absolutely get him late. We have seen him throw in these occasional crappy years. He threw in an 85 between tons. He threw the 86 in a couple of years ago, so it's not out of the ordinary. He's durable. He's probably what you want in a late-round ruck.
And they've got O'Reilly there, but he's not playing, so... Sure. And I don't know any other ruckman they've got there. So the next five, kicking off at number 11, is Paddy Ryder, Tom Hickey. I've got Westhoff at 13, Callum Sinclair, and Scotty Lysette coming in at 15.
So Ryder at 11. Yeah, I've got Ryder at 12. I'm not high on Ryder at all.
No, I'm actually a bit more keen on Tom Hickey, especially with Nick Nat missing the first half of the year. We did see Vardy play the backup, but I'm quite confident on Tom Hickey. He can actually score you quite well in the first half of the season.
Yeah, I was sort of just looking at Tom Hickey again. I've got him at 16 here, but I probably need to adjust him up, probably to about 13. I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, I mean, he's Supercoach relevant, does gather the ball, hit out as well. So, yeah, liking what he's going to put out.
Probably Sinclair moving from a you know, terrible team to a good team might help him as well.
Yeah, exactly right. And Nick Nat has been doing a bit of ruck coaching role as well with the GOAT in rucks in Dean Cox down there at West Coast as well to help him out, so could see him get a bit more of a bump. Callum Sinclair, we know Sam Naismith is coming back. How that's going to work out, does it mean Sinclair gets pushed to the forward line like we saw previously, or with such a great year, does Sinclair retain the number one status at the Swans?
Well, it's a really, really interesting question, Jono, because we've seen ruckman come back from ACL and we've seen it take him quite a while.
Yeah, that's right.
So, look, I've got Sinclair in at 13. I don't really want to draft him, but I wouldn't be shocked if he started the year quite well.
Oh, I think he carries on from next year. I think Sam Naismith builds into his fitness, and you've got Darcy Cameron, whether they look to give him more game time. Yeah, it's just too many questions there at the Swans for me.
Yeah, I could see it being a really good pick, but not for me.
No, and Lysette 15, he's just, once Paddy Ryder goes down, if you've got Westhoff and Lysette, just enjoy those 90 averages like he does in Supercoach, playing the number 2 ruckman.
Yeah, I've got Lysette in at 15, and it's really because he's got the forward status. I don't really want to play him as a ruck.
Oh, God, no.
So you can probably delete him from this list. Jono, I've got Sandy in at 14. I know you're hating on the big man this year. If there's one thing I love, it is a giant human being. And I think it's really interesting because people maybe suggest that now's the time for Sean Darcy. I thought that move should have been pretty obvious for Fremantle. But they've got Rory Lobb coming into the side, and I can't see the three of them playing in the same team together. This is Ross Lyon. I mean, I can't see him going, yeah, Sandy, you're playing down at the Magoos this week. Enjoy that, big fella, because if I was playing in the Waffle and I saw a big Sandy lining up opposite me, I'd be busy making sure my will was sorted out.
Call in sick that day, forget that.
In fact, Ross Lyon might need his will sorted out if he was telling Sandy he's going down to the twos. So I can't see Darcy taking over until the inevitable injury happens.
So how do you actually see the Freo setup? Do you see it Sandy and Lob with Darcy still biding his time? Or
yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. The last five I've got there, I've got Mummy at 16, Sandy at 17, Stanley at 18, Timmy English, and Sean Darcy rounding out the top 20 for me.
What have I got? So I've got... Oh, shit, I put Lysett in twice. Professional.
I've done that before.
So I, like I mentioned, I had Hickey in at 16, but I'll probably need to move him up a little bit. Mummy in at 17. We'll say Stanley in at 18. Tim English in at 19. I really wanted to rank Tim English up. I did in my Dream Team format.
Yeah.
Got a bit more of a Dream Team-based game, I would have thought. And 20, Sean Darcy, just waiting for that inevitable.
I think everyone's just waiting for that inevitable because we have seen him such a high scorer. We just want him to happen. Come on, Ross Lyon, do it.
Yeah, it's quite funny, isn't it? We're sort of wanting someone to get, maybe not injured, just retire. Just that's the move, just retire.
Yeah, we don't want injuries.
We don't want injuries.
No, and Tim English, he's Brody Grundy, Dean Cox-esque. He can play like a midfielder, gathers ball, takes a contested mark. So we're all just waiting him to develop and put a bit of muscle on.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to score that well this year. I think he's probably like an 80-85. That's what you'd be hoping for at best. Is that fair, yeah, Jono?
Absolutely. So he's got the forward status, so chuck him in your forward.
No, he doesn't.
I thought he did.
No.
Yeah, thought he did.
No.
And just to miss out, a couple of mine, I had Billy Longer. People are talking him up. I can see it, but the possessions for me, he just doesn't get the ball around the ground to bump that score up. He's too reliant on the hit-outs for me. And they've got blokes like Lewis, Pierce, Rowan Marshall there that can pinch it in the ruck as well. So it could be a bit of rotating ruckman there at St Kilda this year.
I can see him having good games, but I can't see myself wanting to score to play him on a week-to-week basis, Jono.
Oh, God, no. God, no. No, he's just one I do not want any bar of. But the Geelong situation, they've got three or four quality guys there who can ruck. You've got Abbott, Zach Smith, Stanley, who can all ruck.
I think they've moved past Zach Smith, man.
I know they have, but I know Abbott's took over that mantle later in the year last year, but they've still got three there that anyone at any time can. And you know what? Chris Scott can do, just likes to pull the wool over our eyes and just play anything. He can play all three at once and we can just play one.
Yeah, if I was going to pick one, I'd pick Abbott, but I don't really like Stanley's fine, but you know, he'll score well against the bad teams and he'll score pretty ordinary against the good rucking teams, and without the forward status he's really quite irrelevant.
Well, exactly right. Was it last year? He didn't have the...
He had forward status last year, but he doesn't have it this year. None of them have it this year.
There you go. Then I want no bar of him whatsoever.
Yeah, Albert's the only one I could see really putting his stamp on the position and scoring well for fantasy.
Mm. Well, he did it against Freo in the late rounds last year, and against a couple, and I think the Gold Coast as well against Jared Witts. So. Abbott can certainly score against the quality ruckman.
So what's going to be your strategy heading into drafts with the ruck? I know we always stay flexible within our drafts and we try to let the value come to us, but I know you're pretty keen on Goldie. Is he someone you're willing to draft in the, you know, first six rounds of your draft?
Again, it could be someone I would be, but again, it's got to be pretty flexible, but it's also that late value. I mean, Tom Hickey, I'm all about Tom Hickey for...
Yeah,
the first half of the year. So if I can get him and then, you know, someone to handcuff a bit later in the year, there could be someone that just pops that we haven't even spoken about, which is on the waiver wire. So I'm pretty flexible that way in terms of my ruck, but I'll just have to wait and see how everyone's going. But certainly, depending on where I fall in the draft, what pick I have, I'll find it hard to take Grundy and Gorn with my first pick.
I couldn't do it. Can't do it.
Nah. Especially when you've got Devon Smith and Paddy Dangerfield, who I see Devon improving from last year.
Sure.
And Danger, we've seen him go 120 plus before. Whether that happens again, who knows?
Yeah, I think in the Supercoach format, Danger's such a better pick.
Yeah.
Early.
Definitely. But no, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in our Supercoach draft group, because there is actually some quality Supercoach ruckman this year.
Oh, I love Nank. I love Nank this year, I've got to be honest.
I've never liked Essendon players or Essendon at all, but TBC...
And even Cruz.
Yeah, I've never been a big Cruiser fan, just the reliability issues with him. I'm always looking for someone who plays 22 as a ruckman.
Oh, but you like Tom Bell Chambers.
He's close enough, 19 or 20. Last couple of years he's been fine.
Yeah.
Well, that was a nice short and sharp pod for this week.
Do you want to talk about anything else, Johnny? We got time. People love this.
Time. The mock website, we're in the midst of getting that together. We do have a couple of subscriptions already.
Please don't come to the site yet.
Yeah, do not go to the site yet. We've still got a lot of work to do for that. We've got our rankings to put through and a few ADPs and that to get sorted. So please do sign up, but just hold off till we're looking for Australia Day weekend to launch that.
Yeah, and don't forget, well, I know this is a Supercoach show, but the Dream Team Talk Show is a hell of a lot of fun, Jono. I've bought my ticket already, so I'll be leaving sunny Ararat. Did I say sunny Ararat? Because I meant melt your ass to the ground, Ararat, and heading down to the Big Smoke for that one.
Well, it would have been pretty hot up there. It would have been last Friday, I imagine. It was 40.
It was fucking hot, mate. It was fucking hot.
Well, it got to 44 here in Cranbourne West, so I can't imagine what Ararat was like.
The problem is, I suppose Cranbourne's pretty comparable because there's no sea breeze around Cranbourne. No. Mate, there's a hot breeze up here. That's all there is.
It's desert heat.
It is. And that's the thing, is like we actually had to do a fire evacuation kit because there's all these fires just going off around us.
Yeah, I've seen it up around the Ballarat, that area. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I am not living up there.
Yeah, it's bad times, John. It's bad times. I'm not going to lie.
It was bloody hot that Friday. And I remember just looking at the radar. Actually, you could see where the cool change was. It just stopped at Frankston. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Just get to me.
It did. It did come up here. It was like 45, and then went down to 25, pretty quickly. So,
yeah, it was like they got to 21 or something like that. And opened the whole house. I'm like, this is so good.
What do you think the other pod's gone like? This is the other pod is the first pod where one of us hasn't been on it.
I know. I'm quite anxious, but it's in the good hands of the Golden Tonsils. He'll wrangle those two nuffies. Call myself a nuffy for doing that, but
and there's the worst part is there's no Victorians on it.
No, that's true. Jeez, with a Western Australian, a Queenslander, and a South Australian. Oh God. #brand is in tatters.
In tatters. Well, Doss is a Western Australian, actually.
Ah, he was too. Yeah. Oh God, what is the world coming to? Did I tell you I saw The Predator?
Did you? Finally.
Yes. Illegal downloading, of course, but quality movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Didn't mind it.
I just didn't understand Olivia Munn's role in it. Was it just the eye candy?
Just the eye candy.
Yeah, thought so. Just like, well, hang on, are you a doctor?
What's going on here?
And then she becomes like a badass with full proficiency in weaponry. It's like, how did that happen?
That's fine with me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll watch it later and I'm just picking holes in a movie, which I do.
It's a Predator movie.
Yeah. I know. But I'm just like, you're just there for eye candy. It's just, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. It shouldn't. That's what I've seen. Only the Brave, if you've got Netflix. That was a good one.
No, I haven't seen it. I don't know, man. What do you think about this upcoming season? I'm a bit, I don't know. This draft season's kind of interesting. Everyone seems to be, this is one of my bugbears, Johnny, because I go onto like the DT live drawing board, which fantastic website. Love it. I think it's the best. But every player is improving their average aside from the very, very top guys who are dropping like 2 points. I find it very frustrating.
Not everyone's improving. Like, I can see people, but we just don't know how it's going to work with the new rules. I mean, I actually can see midfielders increasing score, but and forwards increasing, but your defenders and rucks dropping in points.
So you don't think the kick-in rule is going to benefit defenders?
Well, I could be wrong, but not as much as we're all thinking.
Okay, fair enough.
Not as much as we're all thinking. But I think midfielders get a bit of a bump, and with ruck ingestion and that stopping, they'll get less.
Okay, so key forwards.
Key forwards, I think, is going to be the way this year. You heard it first. So, your Handsome Toms, your Josh Kennedy's, Charlie Dixon. I know he's on one leg, but he'll still be pretty good. this year. In your super coach, not your dream team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, quite bullish on them this year.
I think you can wrap it up now.
All right. Let us know how we've gone this week. You can do that by checking us out on the Twitters and also on the Facebooks. Leave us how you think on the two shows. And next week, we're talking all things defender rankings. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.